So you can see there is a different teaching altogether. It will bring about a different result. Third big sign. Bible tells us that there will be signs in the sky above. The sun will be darkened. The moon turned into blood. And all these things. So, we haven't seen the sun darken except for eclipse. We haven't seen the moon turn red as blood yet. So, it hasn't taken place. And these are some things that when it happens, you know it. It will be in the headlines. So, if we believe that there is no such thing as part one and part two of second coming, then we have physical signs of the second coming. What I'm showing here is that the Bible teaches undeniably that the signs of His coming for the church are different from the signs of His coming from Israel. The signs of His coming for Israel are those big ones. They are things like the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, the signs in the sky above, and all this atmospheric and universal chaos in the whole system of the world, which the book of Revelation talks a lot about it. In fact, the sun is darkened a few times. Not just one time, few times. Something happened to the sea, the river, all kinds of plagues to take place. You will know it. There are signs. But the second coming for the church in the air, there are different signs altogether. That is why 1 Thessalonians tells us differently in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, verse 1, concerning the times and seasons. Now he is not talking about the other one. He's talking about this one in the air. He says, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. There are different signs. I mean, if the Lord is going to come, and there's only one big second coming, one big grand slam, there are already scriptures to tell us the signs for it. But Paul is the one who brought forth the revelation of Second Coming Part 1. The signs are different. He says here that, he says in verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, it comes as the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Sudden. Unknown. And it just appears. Now there are certain signs. He says here in verse 3. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. Now notice he say, when they are saying peace and safety, I can guarantee you under the reign of the Antichrist, which in the latter part of his reign, he comes as a man of peace first, but when the abomination and desolation take place, he shows himself as a man of war. And the second coming of Jesus, before in the Jewish dispensation, is a coming in a time of war. The world is at war. The world is gathered against Jerusalem. Everyone is lined up by the Antichrist. He comes in a time of war. But the second coming of Jesus for the church is in a time of peace. What a contrast. How could we miss it? It's a time when prosperity reigns. When suddenly we are caught up. It's a different situation altogether. There are prophecies on this that say when they say peace, peace, then he suddenly shows up. There's a different sign. The world will not be at war at all. The world will be going more and more and more and more into a time of peace. Whereas the prediction of the Jewish dispensation is a time of war. Although the world will always have its small little struggles and fights here and there, but there's a general, what I call, overwhelming prosperity that comes. Why must it take place? There is a time of prosperity for the Jewish nation that was not fulfilled, that was promised to them. There is a time of prosperity for the Gentiles that must be fulfilled before the time of Gentiles ends. So there we have it. That the signs are different. Right? And let's look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Verse 9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Big point, second point, number two. The church will be preserved from the wrath that will come. Whereas the coming of Jesus in the Jewish dispensation is saving them through the wrath, through the hard times, through the time of tribulation. Look at the amount of death and destruction that take place. There were so many martyrs in the book of Revelation. Let's look at the book of Revelation. And we see here in chapter 6, verse 9, when he opened, Revelation 6, verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, now when he opened the first seal, the reign of Antichrist started. He's the first white horse that came. "I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" There were so many who died. It's a time of great tribulation and hardship. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes. But it's a different story in the church age. It gets better and better and better and better. Although the world gets dark, but yet we are the salt of the earth. And we are the light of the world. It gets better and better and better, and He shows up in the clouds above. So two different dimensions that we are pointing at. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians. Looking at all these points, we conclude and we show forth that 2 Thessalonians focus primarily on the Jewish second coming that he teach, that Paul also covers to show forth the revelation of God in that realm. And during Paul's writing, as we see, revelation is progressive. The first part, second coming, and the second part, second coming, are not clearly divided. It is just like from when you look at two mountains from far place, it looks as if the two mountains are close to each other. They may even be two peaks on the same mountain. But when you climb the first mountain, you see, hey, the other mountain is still a further distance out. When the Jews look at the coming of the Messiah, they look at it very carefully and they thought that the coming of the Messiah is just one coming. Which is why in Acts 1, they're still wondering why the restoration didn't take place yet. They didn't know that there was a first coming and a second coming. So the first coming is now over. And during Paul's early times and the early church, they look at Jesus coming. Oh, He's coming back, He's coming back. But the line between Jews and Gentiles are not drawn carefully. the line of Jewish and Gentile dispensations are not drawn carefully. That there is a Jewish dispensation, there's a Gentile dispensation. And so we always look at the Jewish and Gentile dispensation as one. Oh, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, which is true in a spiritual sense in relationship with God. But there are still dispensations, as we see in Revelations. And as we look at the Jewish and Gentile dispensation, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. It looks like it's all one big grand slam, second coming. But as we draw nearer and nearer, we are nearer the first little peak of His second coming. And we realize, hey, this little part of the first part of the second coming is different from the second part. It's only as we draw nearer that we begin to see the difference, feel the difference, experience the preparation of the difference, which Paul brings about in 2 Thessalonians. And here he speaks primarily about the coming during the time of the Jewish dispensation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for you which you also suffered. And he speaks in verse 7 and 8 about the flaming fire that comes and punishes and destroys. That has only to do with Revelations chapter 19, when he comes on a white horse. His name is Faithful and True, and his name is the Word of God. And a sharp two-edged sword flow from him, and everything in his path is destroyed. That is Jesus coming in part 2. Part 1 is in the air. Part 2 is on this earth. If you study it carefully, it is either Jesus or us, sort of, you know, does the U-turn. We call that the U-turn in theological terms. Say, why U-turn? See, if you believe that Jesus coming is one big grand slam, then this, since Jesus has to come in Zechariah chapter 14, right, we better read that verse too. Zechariah chapter 14. He has to come in a Jewish dispensation and land on the Mount of Olives. Somebody went right over there and built a landing pad for him. Zechariah chapter 14. Although Jesus didn't need that landing pad. Zechariah chapter 14 says in verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. So this is a Jewish second coming, the second part. And he comes down and lands on the Mount of Olives. If people think that there is the same coming as for us believers, then it automatically means that you are post-tribulation, which means you have to go through a tribulation, see the Antichrist, suffer under him, and then welcome Jesus. Because that's going to take place only after the man of sin comes about. Which means that if you believe that, you've got to still squeeze in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Meet him in the air. So how you squeeze it in? Jesus coming, he's coming not just for you to land down there on the Mount of Olives and destroy Antichrist. So you're caught in the air, and then you do a U-turn, come down with him. And here, I'm not sure whether it's U-turn or just remain in the air, but he comes for us. See, there's a whole difference. Then he's coming to attack the Antichrist. It's very obvious. In the Gentile second coming, he's coming for us to take us home. He's not coming to attack anybody. And
So we are, Jesus comes and he steps on the portals of heaven, whatever the word air means. Sounds a trumpet, we are all caught home. And then we do a U-turn with Jesus.